January has been a month where we have taken Psalm 37 verse 4 as a theme verse, and we're going to keep coming back to that verse over the year. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, learning to grow deeper and go further with God. And one of the things that I love about David, who prayed just then, is he does what Scripture describes. And let me just explain that. In our passage for this morning, which is just one verse, and we'll zoom out and look at its context in a bit and zoom back in, it says, I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in my God. And one of the things that, if you've ever spent time with David, he will, within moments, talk about Jesus. Because there's something that he has realized about God that he wants to just celebrate it and celebrate it out loud. Another way of putting this verse is, I want to shout for joy because of God and what he has done. I wonder if you would shout for joy for God. And if not, what's stopping you? I've asked myself that question, and the answer that I came up with was sometimes I don't feel like shouting. Sometimes it's not the right time. I don't want to wake up the household. Sometimes I haven't thought really about what God has done, or I've thought about it but not dwelt upon it. Sometimes it is a security thing. And I won't shout because I'm a bit embarrassed. I'm not a shouter. I wonder what your reason would be. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me. This isn't us dressing ourselves. And as grown-ups, we can do that. But this is God putting clothes on us, clothes, garments of salvation, and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Isaiah is writing in chapter 61 of his book of prophecy, words that God has given him to speak to a group of people who have wandered and are far from God, and things have been really hard for them. And he's in his last few chapters, he's bringing words of hope about what will happen and what God will do as his rescue, the rescuer from God, the Messiah, Christ, will come. In a few moments, we'll look at these verses, but I just want to explain what we're going to do today. Sometimes we have communion, bread and wine, and we either have it when the children are in or soon after the sermon, and it's an act of response, and people come up and it's we queue and we take and we go back to our seats. But it can be over very, very quickly, and we can rush through communion. This morning we're going to take time delighting in the Lord through his word and through breaking bread and drinking wine together. So be ready to slow down with communion. This morning we have bread that is not just pre-cut, but bread that can actually be ripped and broken. Bread that, if you take a bit and you rip it off, you could just take a little crumb. Or you could actually take a little bit like that, or a bit like that. Bits that actually you can't just swallow in an instant. Sorry. It's that you've got to take time to chew over. If we slow down and take time celebrating what God has done for us, because He has clothed us with garments of salvation and arrayed us in a robe of His righteousness. He's done that through Jesus, and we will be celebrating His gift of salvation when He went to the cross and His body was broken and His blood was shed for our forgiveness, our wholeness, our healing, our restoration. And we're going to unpack that in a moment. What does the rest of this verse say? As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Isaiah is describing the reclothing of God's people from the rags of exile and wandering away from God to the garments of celebration and salvation, like a bridegroom and a bride on their wedding day. 5,574 days ago, 15 years, 3 months, 3 days, including today, I got married to Nikki. And as part of our service, we took bread and wine. Tom Waring, who was one of the pastors of Gold Hill at that point, broke bread with us and gave us bread and wine, reminding us, like it says in our rings, that a cord of three strands, a relationship of three, husband, wife, and God, cannot easily be broken. I wasn't wearing a priestly hat like Isaiah 61, verse 10 says. And in tradition at that point, Jewish grooms would wear the priestly turban, reminding them that they are to be holy like God is holy. And as a husband, they should love their wife with a holy love. And the bride would beautifully adorn herself with jewels. This is the closest photograph that we can get to what ancient Israeli or ancient Jewish brides would wear. Now, Nikki had some earrings and a small necklace. I can't remember what the necklace looked like, but I remember seeing it and things. You kind of notice this bride's jewelry, don't you? And the intentionality that she has had putting on that jewelry and walking around, the weightiness of it, kind of, she wouldn't have been able to kind of look down because things may have moved and stuff. She's clearly taken time. In the Talmud, a book of Jewish teachings that was written around 400 to 500 AD, the teachers in Judaism have said to brides, don't do that anymore, because the place of encountering God in the temple has been destroyed. It happened in 70 AD. And hundreds of years after, the Jewish leaders were saying, don't adorn yourself with such glamour and exuberance, because even on your wedding day, it's a time of mourning because the encounter place with God has been destroyed. So even on your wedding day, there should be aspects of mourning. But Isaiah is saying, God has clothed us with garments of salvation and of righteousness, and we should be celebrating like a bride adorns herself with jewels. Why do they celebrate like this? Because of love, because of commitment. Why is verse 10 saying this? And we should be celebrating and delighting in God's. It's because of his love, because of his commitment, because of his gift of salvation. Let's look at some of the verses preceding verse 10 before we move into a time of communion. Chapter 61 starts talking, or the voice of God's Messiah, Jesus. Jesus said these words. We can read them in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Maybe some of the things that I read out, you can associate with. That, oh, I need that from Jesus. God has sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Now, this is a passage that God, by his Holy Spirit, gives to Isaiah, and Isaiah gives to the people, people who have wandered from God, done things wrong and not heeded God's warning, and they've wandered away, and God has sent them into exile. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. They deserve to go away from God's presence. I hate robbery and wrongdoing, it says. And they were being oppressed by the people in exile. And yet God, in his faithfulness, in his grace, provides a way back. And he says, you know the things you've done wrong? I'm going to take that away. And I'm going to give you a double portion of blessing. I'm going to give you the things you don't deserve. I'm going to heap that on you. Not just in a small amount, but in abundance. The context of verse 10 is a wider view of salvation than just forgiveness of sins. It's the coming of God's kingdom, the healing of broken hearts, the restoration of people's lives. And as we come to a place of communion where we share bread and wine together, we need to recognize that this isn't just about forgiveness of sins. This is about God's kingdom coming through Jesus. I want to use this imagery of a wedding ceremony. And I want you to imagine a bride and groom stood opposite one another. The legal bits are, I take you. I so-and-so, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, so-and-so. That's the legal bit. And I know of no legal reason. The two things legally that they've got to say. But even written in the law, they're saying, I take you. I choose you. I want you. And hopefully, the groom knows the bride and the bride knows the groom. You'd think that that's pretty obvious. In Western tradition, when as a groom, you're not allowed to see the bride before the ceremony, yeah? Well, you're allowed to see them beforehand at courting and things. But on the day, you're not meant to see them. In Jewish tradition, you're meant to see them because of what happened years and years ago when Jacob was tricked by Laban, and he loved Rachel but was tricked into marrying his eldest Laban's eldest daughter, Leah. So what they do in Jewish tradition is make sure that the person that they're marrying, they see beforehand, before the ceremony starts. I want you to imagine that Jesus is one side and you are opposite. And he says to you, I see you. And you say to him, I see you. The words of that of the wedding vows, I take you. I give myself to you. Everything that I have, I give to you. And I want you to do the same. God was saying that to Israel. On the cross, Jesus was saying that to the whole of creation. I choose you. I give myself to you. I see you, I know you, I know everything about you, even the things you have covered over. I know you, yet I still love you. And everything I am, I give to you. The blessings of heaven, which is some of the things we've described, read through and described in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 9 and verse 11. All of those blessings Jesus has on offer. What would your vow be? Maybe you say to Jesus, I give you my hurt. Jesus' response is, I give you my healing. Jesus, I give you my heartbreak. Jesus stood opposite you, says, I give you my comfort. Jesus, I give you my sin. Jesus responds, I give you cleansing and a fresh start. Jesus, I give you my perversions. Jesus says, I give you purity. Jesus, I give you my shame. Jesus says, I clothe you in heavenly garments, a double portion. of blessing. Jesus, I give you my past. Jesus says, I give you the gift of the present and the gift of a future. Jesus, I give you my regret. Jesus says, I give you new hope. I give you my brokenness. Jesus replies, I give you beauty. Jesus, take my weakness. Jesus says, have my strength and power. Jesus, I'm dressed in rags. Jesus replies, allow me to dress you in robes of righteousness. Jesus, I only have dried up soil. From verse 11, as it were. And he replies, allow me to spring forth new shoots of life. Jesus, I want to give you something, but I'm stuck and trapped. Jesus says, today is a day of freedom. All of those things that we give to him, he says, I take upon myself and I give you the blessings of heaven. Can you see what we miss out on when we rush communion? And I'm sorry for the times that I've rushed it. Well, we've gone through communion very, very quickly and not just dwelt and thought about and delighted in what Jesus did when he went to the cross and what he offers to us.